In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of the Great Fast, and this Sunday is known as the Sunday of the Samaritan Woman. And again, as we said, the story of the Samaritan Woman is the story of repentance and a story of God visiting a sinner and bringing her back into his flock. In the meeting between the Lord Christ and the woman, she said to him when he asked, "Go and bring your husband," she said, "I have no husband." And the Lord praised her for telling the truth about this point. And this point marks and demonstrates that this woman is really repenting in heart. There are certain points, turning points in the life of those people who experience repentance that really demonstrate that they are serious about their repentance. We speak and we talk many, many times and many days about repentance, and some of us may believe that they are penitent people, but actually, unless these points are manifested in their lives, maybe our repentance is not yet serious. What are these points that demonstrate true repentance? First one is what we are seeing today with the Samaritan woman. When we refer to things by their true name, she was living with a man. And maybe in her mind, and maybe like she convinced herself at the beginning, that this man, because I live with him, he is my husband. And then I am fine, I am okay by doing this. But when the Lord confronted her, and he said to her, "Go and get your husband here," then the woman came to a point of faithfulness, honesty, and she said to him, "I have no husband. I cannot call this relationship true marriage according to the will of God." This point, the woman is coming clear and opening her heart, speaking the truth about herself. How difficult is this to happen? When we refer to things that we do by their true name, at that time, we are truly penitent people. For example, when I refer to my manipulation in my work in order to gain something that is not according to God's will, when I refer to this and I say this is stealing, I am cheating, then at this time, really, I am penitent person. When I am referring to trying to get the attention of a person outside my marriage, a woman or a man, then this is flirting. I am doing this to persuade someone to fall in sin. And I'm tempted by this person. It has no other name. I cannot call it just a friendship. I'm admiring this person. There are many, many names for things that's unlawful, ungodly, and when we keep on calling them with these good names, we will never be able to return and offer repentance. When my life is disturbed by my imagination about myself and about thinking that I should be admired by everyone, I am seeking this from everyone. I am fighting and competing with everyone because I want everyone to worship me. Then I have a problem here. I have an ego problem. I have pride issue. It has no other name. I cannot call it that others are jealous from me. They do not understand me. Maybe I am the one who do not understand myself. When I am so much occupied with the things about how much do I have in the bank, how much I am gaining in terms of money, how much I am securing to my children, then I have an issue with the money. I am tempted with the love of man. It has no other name. Yes, we sometimes give it the name of being wise, preparing for the future, securing whatever to our children. But this is not the true thing. I know exactly what it is. I am the only one who can judge himself. I know when these things move in my heart, it has a true name. And other things that I am saying, I am claiming, are not true. This turning point in the life of the Samaritan woman demonstrated she is truly a penitent person. I have no husband. This relationship is wrong. I cannot call it something lawful. it is totally unlawful. I am living with a man, and this man, I cannot call him a husband. There are certain other points like this. For example, despising the gains of sin, as Zacchaeus did. He came to the point when he realized that what I am gaining out of my work is unlawful. I am gaining money by false accusation. Then at this certain point, Zacchaeus was truly a penitent person. We read this in the Gospel of St. Luke. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." When we despise the gains of sin, at that time we can call ourselves penitent people. When I know that what I gained here was not right, and I don't want it anymore, whatever this gain might be money, might be a relationship, might be maybe I give impression to the people in order to receive them and gain their admiration in a way that I know it's not true. When I start to despise this, and I feel like I do not need this anymore, I am not happy and content with gaining something by false accusation, whatever the thing might be, at that time I can call myself a penitent person. In this turning point, I am faithful, I am really honest in my feelings. Another turning point that demonstrates true repentance is when we evaluate directions and realizing the losses, as the prodigal son did. At certain point in his life, he stood and he thought about it. Where am I heading? Where I am going with this kind of life away from my father's house? Then we read, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" My prodigal life is causing me that I am going to perish. When he realized this, when he started to look at the direction for his life, at that time he started to come back and return to himself. Unfortunately, this point that we realize what's going on in my lives sometimes never happens. We keep on doing things the same over and over and over. I keep my attitude and my style in life and my distraction all the days without thinking that I might be hurting myself. And this point sometimes never comes to the life of people. They keep on repeating mistakes and assuming that everyone is mistaken. They are incurring losses simply because they are not understood well. Things are not working well in their favor. They are not treated fairly. The issue is, I did wrong when I left my father's house, as this man did. It is my mistake. It is my problem. I have a problem in directions. I am incurring losses because I'm not making wise decisions. In this point, the prodigal son came back. This was a turning point for him. Now, I am mistaken. I am wrong. Something needs to change in my life. Another turning point that demonstrates true repentance is when we accept responsibility and rebuke. King David, when he committed adultery with the woman Bathsheba, and he even sent her husband to die in the war, at that time he lived for a year, a whole year, not thinking about what he did, not realizing how he brought upon himself the wrath of God. Then Nathan, the prophet, came to him, sent by God. And Nathan spoke to him in a very harsh way. He said to him, "You are the man. You are the one who did this. You took this woman from her husband. You committed so and so. You made the enemy of the Lord to rejoice." How hard are these words to a king and not a regular one? He is the king and the judge, the wise man, the psalmist of Israel. When he heard these words, at this point, it was a turning point for him. He said to Nathan, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord. I deserve what you say, exactly what you said, and I admit my responsibility for what I have done." How many times we avoid these points of taking responsibility? How many times we hate those people who correct us? How many times I feel like No, this was not fair to be said to me. I am like anybody else. Why this man or why Abuna or whoever is coming and saying, I am mistaken. No, I'm not. He doesn't understand. David didn't say this to Nathan. He admitted, I am mistaken. I have sinned. I deserve what you say and maybe more. And when he declared to him the punishment that the Lord is going to bring upon him, he did not debate it even with one sentence. He didn't say, this is too much. Really, I did a mistake, but not up to this, that the Lord would do this and this to me. Like sometimes we do half of the story. I take responsibility, but I don't want to take the rebuke. I don't want to pay something for that. Yes, I was mistaken, but who else doesn't make mistake? What is the big deal? So what? Why I should be punished? Why I should be disciplined? King David showed us in this turning point, he was truly penitent. He was truly at that time a person who is knowing and understanding what he is doing in his life. Another turning point is when we are committed to do what it takes to return to the right path. Saul, that became St. Paul, is a good example for this. When he was confronted by the Lord in his way to Damascus, his reaction was, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Question that is very clear. What do you want me to do? I will do what it takes. Sometimes when I ask someone, I say to him, would you come to the church? And he say to me, Rabbina Sahel, I understand totally that he doesn't mean it and he's not going to come. Unless I say, I will do what it takes, then I am not serious. Even sometimes people say, Abuna, I will do my best. Your best is not enough. You have to do what it takes. As St. Paul said, at this moment, you really speak your heart. He was serious. Whatever it costs, I know that this is the only way. There is no other way I can go and return to my previous life. After I came to know the truth, there is no other way for me. What do you want me, Lord, to do? And I will do it. Whatever it takes for me to change, to come to the right path, I will do it. The words of manipulation that sometimes we see it to deceive ourselves before we deceive others, and speaking about inshallah, Rabbina Sahel, Hashuf, Hasab al-Zuruf, all of these words that I cannot translate it in English because I don't know something similar to them in English, it says that we are simply not serious. We are not there yet. We are just saying something maybe to close the discussion, but we are not serious enough. This turning points says that we are truly penitent people. We really mean that our relationship with God is fundamental to us. We are serious about pursuing the life of righteousness befitting the children of God. These turning points might be like never happen, never occur, because of three main enemies. Sometimes we feel our hearts are moving towards changing. I really want to live up to the calling that I am called to. I really want to live as a Christian person, truly Christian one, not just from the outside, but from inside. In three different confrontations between the Lord and people who were sinners, unfortunately, they were not able to change and to turn and to change direction. The first enemy to these points is stubbornness. Stubbornness. Somebody is hard-headed, like Cain. The Lord said to him, there is a desire in your heart to commit a sin. The sin is there at your door. Be careful. And the man, he just went and he committed it and he killed his brother. He was warned, he was confronted, but because of his stubbornness, he did not make use of the opportunity. Stubbornness that make man, even if knowing that what he's doing is wrong, I will keep on doing it. I'm insisting on the way. I will do it the same way, and I do not want to hear. Sometimes discussion become in a way that make you feel like, how can I convince this person? He already knows that he was wrong. What he's doing is costing him his life. And he still says that I have to do it. Or just keeping silence and objecting what you say, I am going to do it over and over because I have a devil here. I have a demon here that is possessing my mind in order to do what I know is wrong, but I am pushed to do it. Stubbornness. The second enemy to this turning point is manipulation. Manipulation. I am confronted, but I go around the idea. I go around the whole issue. Like King Saul in the Old Testament, he was confronted by Samuel. He said to him, what did you do when you offered the sacrifice? You cannot do this. You are not a priest. Now the Lord will take away from you the kingdom and give it to another one. Instead of saying to Samuel, what David said to Nathan, I have sinned to the Lord. What did he say? You came late, Samuel. It's your mistake. And I was trapped. I have a war that I have to launch. The people are afraid beside me and my enemies against me. What can I do? This answer reflects what? It's a manipulation. I don't want to admit responsibility for a mistake. I want just to justify myself. And we go around things. We go like in a way that's not straight. With this kind of mindset that I want to be justified, I do not want to admit responsibility, there is no way I can repent with this kind of attitude. The third enemy is the love of the world. Like the young rich ruler who came to the Lord asking, what should I do in order to inherit the kingdom? A very nice question, a very sincere one. And the Lord said to him, first, keep the commandments. The man said, I kept them. Then he said to him, now it's time, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor and follow me. Then the man went and he was sorrow because of this. He was sad. Why? He couldn't make it. He could not turn. Why? I have a love inside my heart that's so much occupying it. I cannot give it to the Lord. Unfortunately, I am possessed with the love of money. Sometimes I have in my heart a beloved sin and I don't want to give it up. This beloved sin might be a bad relationship, might be the love of money, might be the love of maybe avenge others or feeling, keeping grudge. I don't want to give up this. I want to live with it. I want to meditate upon these feelings. I am overwhelmed with it and I don't want to give it up. When I have a strange love in my heart, then at that time it's very hard for me to come to this turning point. Today the calling for us is like for this woman. We learn from her lesson. She came to herself, said things truly. I have no husband. Let us review this turning point and examine if we have any of them, if we need to make the change to come to them. I know that I am truly a penitent person. When I refer to things by their true name, when I despise the gains of sin, when I evaluate directions and realize the losses and I choose to change, when I accept responsibility and rebuke, when I commit to whatever it takes to return to the right path. Glory be to God forever and ever.